wanna meet those dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Hear the beat of dancing feet. It's a song I love, the melody of 42nd Street. Little nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. Sexy ladies from the 80s who are indiscreet. They're side by side, they're glorified. Where the underworld can meet the elite, 42nd Street.
It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning, I'm Tom. It's, it's springtime in Maine. Had you noticed? My goodness. We don't have to worry about breaking into a sweat. I mean, you could be out there doing the good part is you could be out there doing a lot of heavy lifting and you're not going to be sweating. So that's the blessing of the day, and it's going to get warmer. This is today. Last night was, well, no, it's going to be in the 30s overnight, but up into the 50s, 60s, we're finally maybe over the cold, windy. It was sleet, snow yesterday. down where I was on the coast of Maine, where the temperature is moderated by the ocean. Okay, I'm done. Today, big day. Big auction. If you don't know about it, I've been talking about it, and I'm going to repeat it right now because it's starting at 9 o'clock at Central Maine Auto Auctions. The general auction, they only have a couple a year open to the public. They're not selling, they're a couple of cars, but they are selling, there are bucket trucks. I don't think there was a fire engine. But there are a lot of forklifts, a lot of farm equipment. All the farmers, the folks who buy this kind of stuff know about it. But if you don't know about it, you could be missing the boat. And a lot, I'm going to underline that, going to put it in bold-faced letters and capitalize all those letters, a lot of building materials, including insulation. Now, as a former insulation vendor, if you will. Man, I want to go buy it all, but I'm not. I'm not sure I'm going. If I am, I'm going to do it online because I've got stuff being delivered today, and I can't spare that time. But if you're looking for lumber, if you're looking for sheet goods, you know, plywood, OSB, tongue and groove, a T111. Oh my God. I've driven around. I mean, you literally, you can't do it today because I'm sure the parking lot's already filling up. But over the weeks, I've driven through all the areas. And it's worth, you know, as somebody who is looking for a deal, there could be some really good deals today. So anyway, it's over in the I want to say Target. It's not Target. It's over in the Herman Industrial Park, and I'm sure they'll have a sign out front. It's you turn in where the John Deere place is, and all the big lifts, you know, the You'll see it. I'm sure there's a sign out front for the big auction. Anyway, I'm always excited for an auction, and auctions are kind of fun. So it'll be interesting. It's always interesting, and you just go in and get a card, and you know, they register you if you're not already associated with the auction. I am, because I buy cars there. But it's worth your time if you're looking for building materials. If you're looking for, you're on a budget and you got a little bit of discretionary funds, it's definitely worth the trip. So anyway, good stuff. Let's see. I just get this out of the way because this is science related and God knows we're about science. Two things, unrelated, but then again, tell a story. Number one, they have thawed something from probably Siberia that's been frozen for 24,000 years. And there was a worm of some form frozen in the ice for 24,000 years. And it reanimated. It came back, started wiggling around. I hear stories like this when they bacteria or a seed gets planted and it grows after 5,000 years being in a pyramid or something. Like, what if there's the apocalyptic thing in there? What if this worm is bad? But anyway, it's fascinating. But the other one, which maybe is more significant, has to do with Mars. And they believe that we have introduced to Mars a fungi on one of our spacecraft that survived the trip to Mars. Now, there was no special fungus capsule. There was no special. Yeah, the opposite had happened. You know, when we send spacecraft like to Mars, we're always diligent about trying to have it be as clean as possible to not contaminate another planet. Right, first rule, maybe, is do no harm. I don't know if that's the first rule, but it should be. Well, some fungus made it to Mars and is alive. Now, I don't know how they must have a little fungi meter or something, but, traveled across space all those miles to Mars and survived. That's a story right there, boys and girls. I tell you what, that is something. Okay. And one more science thing. And this comes from Martha Stewart, who I've been paying attention to this week for another reason, but I'll tell you this one. This came from Martha Stewart. Olives. You're supposed to eat olives, the Mediterranean diet thing. A lot of that has to do with olives. And, God, I love olives. As a kid, I grew up, my mother being Italian, made fantastic salad. And we always had olives. So 5 to 6 olives a day. Now, I'm not meeting my olive quotient. I'm trying to eat fruit. I do have some olives in the refrigerator, and I do use them a lot. I don't use 5 or 6 every day. I used to when I was a kid. If we had salad every day, I had a lot of olives. But I guess if I want to live a long time, I made it this far. I guess that's something. I gotta eat more olives. Hey, we gotta take a break. This is not the band you think it is. This is a group of high school kids playing this song, and we will be back in just a bit. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning, and we'll be right back. Okay, I had to get through the banjo part. Oh, there's more. Oh God. That is one of the sweetest banjo breaks ever, right there. Tennessee Stud, Mike Aldridge. That album is from like 1970. I remember when it came. I was just stunned when I heard that song. The hair in the back of my neck stood up. I don't have as much hair now, but it still kind of stands up. Pays attention. That's a good one. So. I've resigned myself to another project. I have to shoot video today. We got kitchen cabinets coming today sometime, and so I'll be doing kitchen cabinets. I have to show right before they go up because there was some prep work. We're one video behind. It's being edited, I think, this weekend, and then I'll shoot another one before we do the cabinets, and then I got to shoot one in the okay. Anyway, I got videos to do, but. It's always fun when there's a little surprise comes up. And by the way, the phone number here is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. I forget. And then, you know, I get excited. Anyway, so had a little bit of a surprise. We've been living with it, but it's got to change. And here's the deal. Bought the house. House has a relatively new septic and leach field. There's a new 4-inch PVC line that goes from the house out to the septic. It had transitioned over to black iron, which we took out because it had failed miserably. That was up in the walls. That's all gone, so it's all PVC. And in the back of the house is where the laundry room and the kitchen are. And the laundry room has a washer hookup, a laundry sink, and then there's a hookup for the kitchen sink. And they're not that far apart. And they tie into a different drain. There's a piece of 2-inch cast iron coming up out of the ground, transitions to PVC for these three drains, and all well and good. Hooked up the laundry sink, and everything worked. We moved in, hooked up the washer, and found an interesting thing happened. When the washer discharged into that drain, laundry sink would gurgle and spurt up some nasty looking stuff. And the kitchen, which the drains were removed when we took the cabinets out, it's just a stub pipe, would also want to spit. So I've capped that off, and it hasn't gotten better. Hadn't gotten worse, but hasn't gotten better. So I have two options here. I've got this old cast iron pipe that goes someplace. I don't know where. My gut tells me it doesn't go where it should go, but I have no idea. So I have the option of calling Roto-Rooter guy or somebody to clean that out, or I could snake it, or I could just run a new line from the drain I know works, which happens to be about 30 feet away. And that's what I'm going to do. So I've got all the fittings. I got 3-inch pipe I'm running all the way over to that part of the house. And I needed this project like an extra hole in my head. I've got enough holes up there already. I don't need this project, but it will be good to have it done. And I can clean up. The plumbing in that area is a little cuckoo looking to me. So we will clean it up. I have enough, even though it's a long run, I have enough clearance to make all that work. So that's a project. First, I'm putting in kitchen cabinets, though. Cabinets can go in. The pipe coming up through the floor stays. What happens underneath the floor will all be redone, and will be redone within this week, just because I'd like to have the kitchen sink hooked up. I like the idea of having a kitchen sink. My wife likes the idea of having a kitchen sink. And the, you know, this has turned into, the kitchen is the bigger project than what we took on before we moved in, because it's two rooms we joined together. We had to redo everything in this room, this one big room now, and we are gaining on it. Years ago, when I first got out of school and I got a job with a tree service in Maine here in the area, I was a forester. I got a job with the tree service, and at the time we were taking down elm trees, which was a lot of fun. At any rate, I remember this has stuck with me, and I find it fascinating because these were not unintelligent people. These are smart people. They had both advanced degrees. They had businesses, and in their kitchen they had no wall cabinets. And somehow the topic of conversation came up. The wall cabinets had fallen off the wall, and they weren't going to put them back up again because obviously wall cabinets fall off the wall. They're like, huh? Well, yeah, because they weren't anchored. They weren't installed properly. I mean, duh. Cabinets put up every day. You got to make sure you mount them properly. So, and in this kitchen where I'll be putting wall cabinets today, probably starting, was a question in my mind's eye about where the studs are. They're erratically located. It's an old house. So what I wound up doing this past week is, base cabinets, you can just sit on the floor and pretty much go anywhere. Wall cabinets, a different story. You load them up with dishes. You don't want them to fall. That's probably a good scheme, is to install wall cabinets and make sure they don't come down. I mean, hello. So I've been chewing that one over, and I know where the studs are, but I'm not sure everything intersects properly. And some of the cabinets are big. And let's say I've got a 30-inch wide cabinet, and maybe I only hit one stud. That's getting a little dodgy. So what I did was I got some 1x5s, and I screwed them to the ceiling, so the cabinets are mating up against the 1x5s, and I needed that little bit of gap anyway for what we'll be doing on the ceiling. So did that, discovered that the 4-inch screws I had were not long enough with the 2 inches of foam that's on the ceiling and going through all kinds of layers of things. So fortunately, I have 6-inch screws in the shop, big, massive 6-inch roofing screws, and was able to get that there's two strips for each row of cabinets, if you will. They're roughly a foot apart. I can hang the cabinets from the ceiling in addition to mounting them on the wall. That experience from 50 years ago, 50 years ago, has stuck in my head all these years because, you got to do it right, and they have to be well anchored. And I'm not just going to hang them on something unless I know I've got a piece of solid wood behind the wall or up against the ceiling, and I do now. So that project got done in anticipation of today, and ceiling cabinets will go up first. I actually have most of the base cabinets, but I've held off because it's a lot easier if the base cabinets aren't in the way to just mount the ceiling cabinet. So that's today's project. But right now, today's break is coming up, and we got to take a break. If I hit the button, that works better. Here we go. It is Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. We'll be back with you in a little bit. Wax, 835, hot and cold, Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. Got a text message. My bet is Graywater Field or antiquated tank. Yeah, that'd be my bet, too. I was just thinking, I've probably been, in the past 25 years, every house I've dealt with has had some kind of cockamamie leach field, gray water discharge thing that just, you know, it is what it is, I guess. Just wanted to share what we do for kitchen cabinets. Apply plywood to the walls behind the cabinets. Works every time. Yeah, but there's no adventure in that, is there? But that is good. I mean, you know, something solid to put your anchors into makes a big difference. I did go out and pick up. So I've got 6-inch big screws, not lags, big drill, you know, Phillips head screws. We got 4-inch, 3-inch, and I picked up 2-inch Torx head screws this morning for the cabinet joinery, would you call it that, I guess? So the other thing that's in the kitchen, I hadn't done it last week, but I did early in the week because it was been so damn cold. I was doing some taping in the kitchen drywall, just having a joyous time, and I said, oh, you know what? Let's get this wood stove thing put together. Let's see if it works or it doesn't work. I can hate myself if it doesn't work, but I'm into it $40. Actually, I'm into it $200 with the stuff I bought. But so, and I had a big tub of retort cement. I glued together my vermiculite fire brick, and then I had to have two angled pieces because I have a baffle that's on the top, a big piece of material. And I went down. I've got a table saw set up in the garage, and I went down. And I said, I know I can cut it with a handsaw, but I'm going to do it with a table saw. And let's see what happens, what hilarity can ensue. And it went through, the table saw went through it like a hot knife through, but it wasn't like cutting metal or brick or something. It just cut it beautifully. So I cut the two pieces I needed, two angled pieces, and I stuck the rest of it together. And let it set for a little while. I didn't let it set. It was an hour or two, a couple hours. So I'm going to make a small fire. You're not supposed to make a big fire after you use retort cement. It's got to cure, but small fire is okay. I made a small fire, and it lit right off. It went really well. So I went back and touched up a little bit of the cement the next day, and I've used it every night this week. And it has been a dream to work to run. Now, I'm going to call it dumb luck, but what I put in there kind of echoed what I've seen in more recent stoves. So I have this big shell, and now it's lined with refractory, low mass refractory. And what's kind of cool about it for me is the most recent stoves I've dealt with, which are name brand stoves, which are airtight stoves, and this is an airtight, I guess it's airtight, it seems like it's a Yodel stove, Yodel number 8. I'll start the fire, I'll light it off, and shut the door. Now, every other stove I've had to leave the door cracked a bit, which was unnerving, but this one I don't have to do that. It may be too leaky, I don't know. But it works really well. It looks like I'm getting really nice combustion. And I have to monitor. I haven't monitored the stack temperature. I keep forgetting to bring home my thermometer for that. But I will do that, and we will report back. But so far, last night, the other dilemma. Now, one of the dilemmas I've had with my other stoves, which are small stoves, was they would overheat the room they were in. These were relatively small rooms. They were relatively well insulated. I'm now in a big old house that is better insulated than it was 4 months ago. But I realized as I'm messing around with the stove, if I close the doors to the kitchen, which is where this is, and that's about a 500 square foot room, just so you have some perspective here. 400 or 500 square. It's a big room. I'm into my T-shirt pretty quick. You know, whatever I'm doing, painting or doing drywall, which is what I've been doing this week. Except if I have a door open, there's a door that goes to an entry foyer, and there's a stairway there, and then you know what happens. You leave that door open, the hot air just goes right upstairs where nobody lives. Right now, I just have stuff stored there, and so I got to keep the door closed. There is a door at the top of the stairs, which I never remember to keep closed, but that would help to maintain the temperature downstairs, and a fan would help too. And I do have fans. I've got to grab one. So, but, you know, takes time to figure this stuff out. I know better, but it's still, I'm doing drywall. You know how mentally intensive that is. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
I live in central Maine. We live in a house that is, it's a one-story ranch style.
Mm-hmm.
It's 23 years old. It's been reshingled one time, asphalt shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, if I look at the house in a certain light during the daytime, especially after a rain, the roof appears to be uneven, wavy, as you look at it from the street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what to make out of that. It's a relatively new house, and I don't know. I talked to a handyman locally, and he actually apprised me of this. He said he pointed this out to me, and he wasn't sure what the problem was, but I'm concerned enough to call you and get your opinion.
Sure. I two things come to mind. One is obviously you should get in the attic and see what's going on. The other would be where it's a ranch house, maybe it's convenient enough to get a string across it. And the waviness, is it symmetrical? Like, is it, you know, with each rafter, you know, 16 or 24 inches?
Yeah, Tom, I would say it's symmetrical. I'm not sure what you call them. The stringers or
the rafters.
Okay, the rafters.
Yeah.
They stand out like ribs on a skinny person's chest.
Okay.
And it's like they stand out. They're high, and in between it sags a bit. So my handyman thought or asked me what kind of plyboard do you have up there on top of those rafters. I said, I'm not sure. I didn't do the work.
Yeah. Well, if you have access to the attic, you should peek up there and see what's going on. A couple of thoughts for it sagging. You know, it may be just that your eye catches it when it's wet like that. That there's a little bit of heat transmission. That's why I say a string across it would help to define what is going on. If there's a lot of droop in between the rafters, that's of some concern. I'd want to see what the backside of the sheet goods that are covering the rafters looks like. My slightly educated guess in this case, because I'm, you know, going from experience, is there could be a moisture issue in the attic that's causing the sheet goods that are covering things to sag a little bit. It may be that it's just an optical thing, but just peeking up there will tell you something. If it's OSB, I would be a little bit more concerned. If anything's up there is discolored. and chances are good it's either plywood or OSB, and just see what's happening there. And then if there's a moisture issue on that backside, that has to be dealt with. A solution which doesn't necessarily, if there is a significant problem here, and I'm not saying there is, one solution would be when it comes time to re-roof, to strap the roof and put metal over it. And that kind of mitigates that droopiness. But if you have a sheathing issue, that's a little bit more of a problem in terms of, again, my first suspicion would be moisture, warm moist air from the house getting up in the attic and just causing a problem with the sheathing. If that's happening, the insulation, attic insulation needs to be dealt with, and that would be possibly removing the attic insulation or at least moving it, sealing the ceiling, that any pass-throughs from the living space up into the attic, sealing all that, and then ventilating it better. It could be there's a ventilation issue as well. And this isn't necessarily a really expensive repair, but it's one that if it's visible, you certainly want to just make sure that it's not catastrophic and is going to – if there is a problem, and it could be, it probably won't get better for doing nothing.
Yeah.
But it may be you're still at a point where it's a simple fix.
Okay. Okay, Tom, you've given me quite a few leads to follow, and thank you very much.
Okay, good luck. See ya.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. A message here, or a cheap contractor using half-inch OSB. Or, well, it'd be 7/16. It wouldn't even be half-inch. Yeah, it could be. So it you got to go look at it. You know, what's more fun to get? Well, this is the time of year to get in the attic. It's still cold out. Get up in there. You crawl around in the fiberglass, which is probably what's up there. But good luck. What do we got? So I lament, as I have many times lamented about moving product around this fine country of ours. I ordered a fender. I have a Prius that I'm working on that needed a fender. So I ordered a fender from a name vendor online, and they shipped it out reasonably quick. And it landed in Portland, Maine, April 2nd. And it left Portland, Maine yesterday to go back to the vendor, because they can't get it from Portland, Maine to Stockton Springs, Maine in 3 weeks. And I can be patient. You know, life has taught me to be patient at times. I'm not always patient, but when it comes to the deliveries, I've become patient just because the delivery system in this country is kind of a mess. Anyway, I finally said, look, you got to give me a refund. Take it back. It's between you and the shipping company. And so I got my refund yesterday. Very disappointed. I mean, you know, it's a name company. It's not Joe who sells fenders on the side. This is a company that ships stuff all the time. I said, you know, you guys need to, if this is a shipping company, somebody you deal with, you got to address this. I'm not upset with the people I bought it from. The shipping company, I don't know what they're doing, but they're goofy. How about your pet sunk? I'm not sure what a pet sunk is. Skunk? My pet skunk? I don't have a pet skunk. We did have a skunk under our porch at the other house, but that one is long gone. So look forward to having a pet skunk sometime, but not overly anxious about it. Oh, if you're talking about what's in the noise I heard last week, so I got a deterrent spray. It's peppermint oil. I read the label in more detail as I was applying it. peppermint oil, cinnamon oil, and garlic oil. Now, isn't that appetizing to think about? At any rate, I went up in the attic, sprayed all the attic spaces, there was a hole where in the fascia that I haven't fixed yet, because I don't want to trap any animals, but I did spray that as well. I was able to get up into it, and I haven't heard anything, and I'll go back at it again at some point. Let's see. We got another text message here. Was thinking about buying one of those big steel leaf blowers. Leaf blower or rake? Leaf blower. That's, come on. I have rakes, and I don't want to use them. I did use them. I had a rake where I pulled all the hedges out of the front of my house. I actually had to go out and rake the soil back in that I tore up. And I'm accepting of that. I made that mess, but a leaf blower, not well, years ago, we had our house on Broadway, 201 Broadway, and the market was dead at that time. We had it for sale, and we had to deal with leaves, and at the time, there were a lot of trees on that property, and we had lived there, I don't know, 10 years or so. And every autumn, I think my wife thought it was fun to get the big tarp and haul the leaves out to the street, rake them into the big tarp and haul them out. Man, I could think of a gazillion other things I will do before I want to rake leaves, especially a lot of leaves. So I talked myself and her into a riding lawnmower. I didn't need a riding lawnmower for that yard per se, but I said, if I get a riding lawnmower, I could just shred those leaves till they disappear, and it's mulch, and it's good for the ecology. And that's granted, I burned a couple of gallons of gas probably, but it was a lot for me, and this is almost 30 years ago. It was one heck of a lot easier to sit on that mower and just drive around in the yard in circles. And I did it for way too long, but it was a lot simpler. Leaf blower, though, is a good second. Tom, is the OSB the stuff that looks like beaver puked with wood chips compiled into a sheet? Yes, it is. It's some people call it wafer board. It's not a bad product, but it is a little bit more susceptible to moisture, say, than plywood. Plywood is susceptible too, but it's layers of veneer, whereas OSB is oriented strand board and is little flakes of wood glued together. And not all OSBs are the same, but they tend. Joe Steerbrook, the building scientist, refers to it as pre-digested wood. So it's one step closer to becoming one with nature again. He's a little tongue-in-cheek there, but it is a difference. I got another message here. I mow the leaves and dog turds this time of year. That's a spirit. I'm proud of you. That's what we got to do. One more thing here. Laundry room is for some reason had plaster wall, and at some point somebody said, "Let's put boards over that." And it wasn't shiplap or anything; it was just boards, and those have dried, and there's gaps, and you can see the plaster behind it. And we're just looking at that. And at some point, we're going to do the laundry room over. My wife suggested, because we were moving the appliances around, why don't we get some of that beadboard paneling and put that behind the washer and dryer at least. So I wound up doing that the other day. I got a couple sheets from our friends at Hammond Lumber. And I had built some shelves. I had them on the wall. I had all my conduit on the wall, unscrewed all of that stuff, and was able to slip the paneling behind it. And I have to say, It looks pretty civilized back there compared to what it was. We're going to take a break. It is 8:55. We'll be back next hour. Maria is going to be with us today.
Lord above gave man an arm of iron so he could do his job and never shirk. The Lord above gave man an arm of iron, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, someone else will do the blinking work. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll never work. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, to see if man could turn away from sin. The Lord above made liquor for temptation, but with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, when temptation comes, you'll give right in. With a little bit, with a little bit, with a little bit of luck, you'll give right in. Oh, you can walk the straight and narrow, but with a little bit of luck, you'll run amok. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, to share his nest and see his food is cooked. The gentle sex was made for man to marry, but with a little bit of luck.
Back. It's 9:05. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom, and phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-447. And if you'd like to text or call, that's all. That all works. What else? Oh, we got lots of stuff here. Oh, my goodness. I'm slowly organizing very slowly organizing my garage slash barn. It is just stuff has been dropped. And the kitchen was my, everything goes here because I'm not doing anything in here yet. And I had to clear it all out. So the next step out towards the garage slash barn is the laundry room, which is packed with stuff. And I'm slowly getting that stuff out of the way because there's a lot to stumble over. I got shelves to put up and I got a lot to do out there. But I've actually started very, very slowly, but I'm making progress. And I was out there yesterday. In the kitchen area, we have a bay window and there's a seat. That somebody built, and I talked about it last week. It was kind of funky, so we're going to rebuild it. The edge and center bead pine is in. I've roughed in some outlets, and I need to do the seat, though, where your posterior would be located. And I thought, well, we'll do that in hardwood. And a friend of mine who passed away years ago his family has it now, a chicken barn up in Prospect, full of stuff, of which there's a lot of rough sawn lumber. And I went up there to see if I could locate something that I could use. And I didn't realize everything he had was rough sawn. It's not the end of the world. I have planers. So I picked up a piece of what appeared to be birch, and it is birch, and I ran it through the planer. And it came out nice, except it's not great birch. It's what they call spalted. If you're familiar with spalted wood, spalted is basically wood that has stain in it from fungi or minerals or whatever. And that's the new hot thing. Everybody loves the spalted wood. I would conceivably use it. I didn't like the way this looked, so I'm not going to use it. I'm just going to get regular. I'm going to get oak. That's what I was looking for, oak or ash, and I think oak is where I'm going to go. My friends at Hammond Lumber, they have a nice assortment of hardwood, of oak primarily, And I'm going to get over there, double check my measurements again, how I want to put it together. I'm going to have to get skinnier pieces and biscuit join them, but that's not a big deal. And the spalted, you know, spalted looks nice in some applications. If you're turning a bowl or something, a lot of times that looks good. People use them on banjos. I'm sorry. I don't get it. I guess I'm just old, but it just doesn't seem right. Speaking of banjos, we're going to have a blowout on banjos on our website, which is StocktonSprings.com, in another week or so. And Maria will be calling in a little while. We'll talk about it because she's the one who helps me maintain the site. But we're going to have a drastic price reduction. And the reason for that is I had an instrument at John Bernunzio's, John Bernunzio being a vintage instrument dealer, that did not sell. And, you know, when you do, it was a consignment. And a consignment is 30%. So they get 30%, I get 70%. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If I'm going to accept 70% from him and he gets a percentage, which I appreciate, he has a lot of traffic, why don't I just discount my stuff like 30% if I'm okay with that? I'm not okay with it, but it'd be kind of nice to move some instruments. So I told them to send back the one that they had, and we're going to go ahead and do the do a sale. So you keep an eye on the website. We'll finally update it and get some new pricing as well. Pricing that'll make you want to learn the five-string banjo, folks. Let's go to the phones on 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Thomas.
Hey.
I think I'm spalted.
Yeah, I've heard that.
How many miles on your Prius now, Tom?
I just turned this very morning 491,000.
Brilliant, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we have a Gen 2 Prius with about half as many miles on it. And the instrument panel is starting to misbehave, go blank.
Right.
And wonder if you could talk to me about the procedure for disassembling that and repairing that.
The thing that's acting up is called a combination meter. You have to remove the dashboard, the top part, which does come off. You take out the passenger side airbag to get to the fasteners, and all the stuff in the dash comes out. All the vents come out. The radio comes out. You don't have to remove the steering wheel. And then you just start unhooking. There are videos for how to take this apart. Once that's out, then you remove the combination meter from the dashboard, and then you disassemble that, and there is a single capacitor that you have to replace. And somewhere online there's a video. We were doing it. It's a couple hour project to do it, but that's the issue.
Okay, a couple questions. So when you're doing the disassembly, are any parts fragile that break, or if you take your time and you're careful, does the dashboard come apart all right?
It should come apart all right. The thing I found that I break, just because of age, is the heating cooling vents. They can they just pop in. They're little clips. They can tend to break. Depends on the car. Depends where it's been. I do have spares. So if you break one, you know, hunt me down, and I think I've got replacements for the whole car. There's four of them. That's the only thing, though, that really significant. Unhooking the airbag is—I find the clips to be a little bit tricky. There's a little a safety feature to them, but it's not a big deal. Just, you know, take your time when you're on. The airbag clip is the most annoying one, so you don't want to break it. Airbag plug, excuse me.
Okay. And so you don't have to pull the steering wheel, but you have to pull the airbag?
The passenger side airbag is attached to the back side of your dashboard. So,
Got it.
It's heavy, so it's a little bit more unwieldy. It may be a two-person deal to get the thing out of the car, but I do it myself. I'm used to doing it. It's a fun project, you know.
And the repair to the combination meter itself, it seems like some people replace the whole board versus you're talking about replacing just the cap.
Right. You can send it out to be repaired. You can replace the whole combination meter, but that's your odometer as well. So if you replace it, you're going to get something that's not the same miles, unless you're really super lucky. But they are repairable.
So as long as we're comfortable soldering, there's no reason to replace the whole board.
Right.
We can just desolder and replace the capacitor.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't remember what the capacitor capacitance is or the size. It's a little dinky thing. Just buy them, you can get on eBay. Again, if you look it up, you'll find it online, what the rating is. It's easy enough to replace. It's, if you're buying one somewhere, if it was 50 cents, that's probably overpriced. You're probably going to wind up buying 10 of them or something for $3 or something like that. They're not expensive.
And it's a single capacitor, Tom?
One capacitor.
Yeah. Nothing else that we should do while we're in there?
Clean it. That's it. It's apt to be some dust. Just brush it out, clean it, and you put it back together.
Yeah. And you've done this how many times, Tom?
I don't know. Lots. 20, 30 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, great. And it solves the problem every time.
It does. I always kind of cringe. Oh, my God, what if it don't work? It always works. Now, a caveat, I got to take a break here, but what I discovered, and I think this is true, is that on the second generation Prius, when you go to charge the 12-volt battery, I always disconnect the battery from the car, one leg. My experience is that leaving the battery hooked to the car tends to induce this problem of the display going blank. And I suspect it has something to do with that capacitor just not handling the voltage or something, because you overcharge, you have a higher voltage to charge battery. But I've seen this happen multiple times. Whether I've done it or a customer's done it, hook the charger up to the battery, battery's still hooked in the car, the combination meter starts to go. And I don't think it's just a coincidence. So.
Okay. All right. We've never charged the battery, though.
Yeah.
So
good.
Ours, I think, has just gone bad on its own.
Yeah. Okay. I got to let you go because we're running late. Okay?
Thank you, Thomas.
Okay, good luck. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, we're going to take take a break, and we'll be back.
Switching in the kitchen and dad's in the living room, grousing and a bitching, and I'm out here kicking the gong for you, for you, for you. When your mind starts wheeling and a walking, your inside voices start squealing and a squawking, floating around on a belladonna cloud, singing you, for you, for you.
Okay, we're back at 9:20. It's hot and cold Saturday morning, and over on line three is not Pete, but his dear sister, Maria. Good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning.
Should we be singing along?
Euphoria. Hot jam.
Yeah, it is a hot jam. And Maria wanted to call in and talk about cleaning cars for the next 40 minutes, and I don't think I don't think we can handle that. I talk about cleaning cars all week long with her, so I really don't want to go there anymore. But we can touch on it.
You know what we need to do that we've never done?
No.
We need to power wash the hoses for the shop vac and the extractor, because home yesterday and I looked at the bottom of my pants and they're covered in wool wax.
Because it hits the lift.
It hits the lift, it gets on the hoses, and then I'm not paying attention when I'm vacuuming or shampooing a car. And I put a car in the shop yesterday because it needed to be shampooed. It's still too cold to shampoo outside.
Well, it's too cold to power wash outside, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But that's going to change someday, right?
Warm. Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly is right. So, oh, man. So we're going to have the big banjo sale. I just announced it.
I heard that.
Yeah, we'll be busy changing all the pricing. That'll be fun.
Yeah. It'll be a good time.
I didn't tell anybody about my my other Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart says that you're supposed to eat 5 to 6 olives a day to stay healthy.
I heard that as well.
That's a good thing.
I've been listening.
But the other thing is Martha. Past week I found a really nice marble top carved wood base table on Facebook. And got it. It was quite inexpensive. The top looked like it was stained from cigarette smoke. It was kind of yellowish, and I think it was more the nature of the marble. But yeah. I've been taking this. I guess falls under the heading of cleaning too. I've been trying to clean it. I haven't for the past couple of days because I've been busy in the kitchen. But looking online, you're not supposed to use anything acidic because it'll dissolve the marble. You're not supposed to use bleach for the same reason, but you can use some stuff. And Martha Stewart suggested acetone, which I'm a big acetone guy. I use it for everything. Didn't make a difference. But she also suggested wet sanding, and that did make a difference. And I've got to get back on it again, but it seemed to lighten it up quite a bit. I'm kind of pleased with old Martha that she knows her stuff.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah. So, I'll report. That'll be on the TV show or the YouTube channel at some point. That table, by golly, but it's been relegated till it gets cleaned. There's certain places where we have different cleaning zones in our house. I dragged it upstairs because it's out of the way and I can do what I want up there because your mother can't see it. So
how heavy is that table that you were able to get it upstairs though? I would imagine the marble top is.
It was about 300 pounds. It was heavy.
And you brought that upstairs by yourself?
Yeah. The top is 40 pounds, maybe 50 pounds. It's not
that heavy. Okay. Yeah. All right.
But I also the other one was I did a poultice. Am I saying that right? I'm having a hard time some words. Poultice of baking soda and hydrogen peroxide. And covered it with plastic for 48 hours, and it did absolutely nothing except made a big frigging mess.
Yeah.
So the wet sanding did the trick, though. So that was a big project. And speaking of cleanup week is coming to Stockton Springs. May 16th is the official day. So it's going to be like Christmas for scroungers and scrapping people. And I never put anything out because we have a dumpster at work and we all use it. But this year's different. Because I've got so much.
You've got a lot to put out.
I got so much crap to put out, most of which is old windows. I don't want to put them out prematurely because some kid with a rock is going to leave me a big mess. The basement, I spent a lot of time cleaning before they did the spray foam. And we still didn't get everything out. So I decided that we're going to have to take an afternoon and get the rest of the stuff out of there. Mm. So, I have to look at the calendar to see when we're going to do, when we're going to do this. The week before. Because we want to give people a chance to pick this stuff.
To look.
Shop.
You gotta.
We do tend to slow down.
Oh yeah, we'll go through Sandy Point sometimes if we're going to Bucksport.
Oh, yeah.
we'll take the detour.
Yeah. I don't know if you've looked at Realtor. Your mother let me know this morning. You know that house where I got the shelves that were out by the side of the road?
Yeah.
That's for sale.
Yeah, I mentioned that to you earlier this week. Nobody listens to me.
No, we don't.
I must have one of those voices that everyone just tunes out.
I was probably watching an auction when you told me that that's a nice house. That's got a lot of shelves and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It looks interesting.
And I have to ask you the question: have you ever been up to Uncle Jimmy's barn?
Oh yeah.
Okay, Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah.
Is my friend who passed away a few years ago. He had a chicken barn in Prospect, Maine, called Pack Rats. Actually, it was called Pack Rats International because he also had a place in Belize that he developed, a little farm. excuse me. And unfortunately, we lost Jim a few years ago, and his family just put it up for sale this week.
Mm.
And I would say it's 30,000 square feet under three floors. Mm. Plus, there's an attic space, which isn't quite a full 10,000 square feet, but it's a lot. And it's on 5 acres, and it comes with all the junk that Uncle Jimmy has accumulated.
And he has a lot of junk.
Oh, my God. He was, and he was exporting it to Belize, thinking there was a ready market. I remember one time he shipped a container down with toilets. There was some place down in Rockland that, I don't know if it was a hotel or whatever, but they had a lot of toilets. I remember he had somebody working with him, and they were going and ferrying all these toilets back up to the toilets are gone, by the way. So you're getting quality.
Okay.
It's not all toilets now, but there's a lot of tools, antiques, and
doors, windows,
a lot of doors and windows,
salvage. Yeah,
and all that's conveying. So what's kind of cool about that is if you wanted to have a recycling business, is a ready start. And it's on Realtor, so you can just look it up on Realtor.com. It's in Prospect, Maine, and I think the price is reasonable. It's 5 acres with a little cabin that he was going to live in as well. He was commuting between New York State and here. He's from Maine, but had some connections in New York State, so it was going back and forth. But it's worth looking at. It for no other reason than just to see all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that house I mentioned earlier, it's got 108 pictures. Jim's should have 308 pictures. Is that much?
Yeah.
Every time I go in there, if I look around, there's another area I didn't know was there. So anyway, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
We still need to talk about cleaning cars.
Yeah, we don't have to if you don't want to.
I want to. We just don't.
Okay.
I covered cleaning marble top tables. I mean, that's a arcane thing if ever there was one. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got Maria for the rest of the hour. It's hot and cold.
While making Indian cornbread, the eagle flies, take a hiss and flies to go.
Keep on, keep on, keep
on. Sit back and Big Bob,
keep on,
was on
keep
a heavy job.
Keep on,
he heard a noise, said, come on, both to go.
Keep on, keep on.
Horse was in a race,
keep on,
he could win, show our place.
Keep on,
he came in first from out of the dirt.
Keep on,
like you've seen a cop, and you don't exactly
really want to stop. It's a motion for the lotion that makes you moan. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of grace. Now I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment down in pain. Main dancer, the pilot, washed his hands.
Okay.
Pleased to meet you.
I wonder, Maria, I wonder if they're going to have the woo-woo part.
I was wondering that as well.
Well, we could just leave it in the background. Although this is one of my I had this video on my phone forever, and it's like 10 minutes long. No, yeah, it's 10 minutes long. They're still doing the woo-woo part yet. There was a time we were a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and I had a CD. We were on a trip down the coast, and this song came. The Stones version of this song came up, and I led the chorus in the woo woo part. And I'm proud to say I did a good job. We all did.
Yes, you did.
We
were,
that was fun.
We know how to woo woo with the best of them.
There we go.
Hope you guess my name.
All right. That's enough of that. I got that out of my system for about 3 months. So, Maria is, unfortunately for her, our delegated detailer. And I'll let you take it from there.
To be clear, when you say detailer, here's my big issue with detailers. Is the use of Armor All as a cleanser. Armor All is not a cleaning product. Armor All is a protectorant. After the car is clean, if you want to put Armor All, that's your prerogative. I don't use it. I don't like the way it smells. We have a lot of people who come in who are sensitive to smells.
Mm.
We try to be sensitive to that. And, you know, I don't tend to use it. And
yeah.
So
they just covered the dirt with Armor All.
That's exactly what happens. There is one big dealer, I'm not going to name names, that actually will clean a car, detail it, send it to auction. That's great. We love getting cars from those because typically there's not a lot of cleaning that needs to be done. It's changing the cabin air filter, which they never do, which I don't really understand because they're a big dealer. They should know to change the cabin air filter, but they don't do it.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess that's a mechanical system anyways.
We do it.
I digress. But there are a lot of dealers, smaller dealers, who will just kind of Armor All over whatever filth is in the car already. And that makes it so much harder to clean.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of acting as, it's you can, you know, get through the Armor All, but you're kind of shellacking it to, you know, your dashboard or your cup holders or whatever. So don't, if you want to Armor All your car, you should be cleaning it first.
Yeah.
And you don't need to spend a lot of money on tools. You can use things that you already have. My three favorite tools for cleaning cars, and these are weird things, is a long flathead screwdriver that I use to get into the vents to try to clean the dust out of the vents as best I can without removing the vent covers.
Yeah.
Because it's not always easy to remove the vent covers. There's some cars that you can remove the vent covers just by looking at them the wrong way. It'll fall out. There are some you can't remove the vent covers. So I like the long flathead screwdriver for that. You wrap a disinfectant wipe around it. I'm not going to name my favorite brand of disinfectant wipes, but you can find some that don't leave a lot of lint.
Some, yeah, and having said that, some leave a lot of lint.
When COVID first started, we couldn't find my preferred brand. of disinfectant wipe, and you brought in some other brand.
Yeah.
And it left little white fibers all was over it, the dashboard. And
was it Clorox or Lysol? That was Linty. It's one of those.
I don't want to name names. Why I don't not? Want to name names.
That's what I do.
Because I don't want there to be a run on anything.
Well, I'm not naming the one we get. I'm telling you that.
Okay. All right.
And those are great. Those are great cleaners. They're just not. They're too linty for cars.
Right. And if the dashboard was white, it would probably be okay. But nobody makes a white dashboard in a car.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a text message here. Martha Stewart told Click and Clack that her husband. When her husband gave her her first car, a Mercedes-Benz, she decided to wash it with Comet abrasive cleaner.
Oops. Oh, Martha. She's learned trial and error.
Yeah, she has learned trial and error. And somebody else sent, we got another text message unrelated, Cool Chicken Processing Barn Conversion. That place is awesome. It is. It's Uncle Jimmy's Chicken Barn on Prospect Main on Realtor.com. Go buy it. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah. No. So many triggers to be found.
Yeah. Yeah. That needs a good cleaning. Have you tried newspapers when cleaning car windows doesn't leave streaks? Maria doesn't do many windows.
I will do, if I'm doing a window, I'll use microfiber towels. But again, I'd hate the way microfiber towels feel. I have to wear gloves when I'm using them because it feels like a cat's tongue. Use microfiber towels because it's nice. You can reuse them. Plus, we never have newspapers, so that's also part of the problem.
Yeah, newspapers are. What century are you from? You got newspapers. There's not even free, they used to have the free newspapers. They don't have those anymore.
Yeah, the weekly.
What the heck are you going to start a fire with? The good news is I have a lot of junk mail to start fires with. So
I was going to say, you get a lot of packaging materials.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Well, and the other thing that we got that Maria talked about earlier is we've had several carpet shampooers. And the most recent one we got is... It looks like a big industrial thing. I don't think it really is that industrial, but I think it works well. What do you say?
I think it works well too. I always have my complaints with any sort of shampooer is, most of them are made for shampooing like armchairs, sofas, carpets in your house.
Right.
They don't necessarily have the right attachment that you want when you're shampooing a car.
Right.
And the other big issue with shampooers is they don't make one that works upside down. And if you need to shampoo a headliner, you're going to get showered in whatever you're trying to shampoo out of the headliner.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's probably not. I have my doubts. There's any kind of shampooer for doing headliners that isn't going to shower you, just given the nature of what they do. But
I will say, if you have to shampoo a headliner and you don't want a bunch of gross water falling in your face, if you go over to Harbor Freight for $6, you can get a clear plastic face shield, and it will keep the water from getting in your pretty face.
Okay, but then you don't have to wash your face if it's no?
That water is not clean that's coming. If you need to shampoo a headliner, that headliner is dirty.
Okay, all right.
And you don't want that water in your face.
Yeah. Got a couple more messages about cleaning. Had a coworker who used Pledge inside and out, and it was a nice job. I guess I assume you mean in a car. We could try that. That's kind of like Armor All a little bit, though. And somebody suggested using oven cleaner on a marble top. Yeah. Unfortunately, you can't do that.
Oh.
Marble is primarily calcium carbonate, and anything acidic will destroy it. Now, having said that, I'm going to take that, and I haven't tried this under advisement. I think if you you used to be able to buy what they called tumbled marble, which kind of to me looked and it was almost like a big mosaic. I used it in several places, and I really loved the look. It made me think I was in Pompeii. Because the edges were really rounded and the surface was kind of pitted. I suspect it's tumbled maybe with a little bit of acid to get that look. Mm. And for me, a marble top table done that way would look pretty cool. But I don't want to damage it. I think I'll be a little more conservative with it and not use anything acidic. I suspect if you're real careful, you could do it, but I don't want to do that. Another message here. Does Marie use air compressor for detailing? Gets all the dog hair out of crevices?
So for crevices, I'm gonna give away my crevice tool. This is a crazy thing, and if Mom is listening, she's gonna be so proud that this is something that I do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you go to Harbor Freight for $6, yep, you can get a 25-pack of stainless steel cable ties that are maybe a quarter of an inch wide.
Yep.
Really, really thin.
Yep.
And if you take a stainless steel cable tie and you wrap a disinfectant wipe around it, you go into the crevices around the buttons at an angle and then kind of shimmy it up, you can get the dirt and dust and debris out of all of those, you know, the buttons, your climate control buttons, radio buttons.
Mm. Without taking it apart.
That's what I use, yeah, and without having to blow a bunch of dust into your face.
But what about dog hair?
That's the thing with this. Dog hair.
I don't think compressed air does a good job. I think if you have dog hair in a car.
It depends on the hair.
Mm.
Right? So different dog hairs will act differently in carpeting. There's some that just, if a dog, I don't know, I think some people just never vacuum their cars. Mm. I don't get that, but that's fine. But the dog hair, if it's really embedded, there are a couple of things you can use. Some people use dish gloves that have textured fingertips. Nitrile gloves, you can even work it out sometimes with that. Pumice stones, like if you go to a dollar store or a beauty supply store, you got a pumice stone for your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that. Those are pretty cheap. We've purchased a lot of different tools online. They've got those weird metal lint remover things.
Yeah.
Those work pretty well. One of the best tools that you've ever purchased for me is a little, it's like a little silicone thing, and it's got teeth, or it had teeth, let's put it that way. And that thing worked so well, but the problem is, it is not made for,
industrial dog hair removal.
Right, and the car that I was cleaning, I know, it had black upholstery, and it looked white. There was so much dog hair embedded in that seat. But
I remember that one.
It worked really well.
Yeah, but it wore out.
There are, yeah, and that's the thing. It depends on the type of hair too. I don't know what some. There are sometimes, because we get the information about who previously owned a car. There are sometimes I'm like, should I look up this person and ask them what kind of dog they have, just so I know? you don't want that dog in your car.
We're not buying Priuses that had Shih Tzus in it. That's over.
I mean, it is what it is. But it takes a lot of time sometimes, and but if you vacuum your car on a regular basis, you don't really need to worry about the hair embedding. Because
that's
you're
right.
Cleaning it on a regular basis.
Can you please make
an
our
ounce
lives
of prevention?
Yeah, please make our lives a little easier. We have enough to deal with getting a car ready, not having dog hair. Unfortunately, it happens that, especially if we buy a car online, we don't see the dog. Well, Maria's pretty good at scoping out the dog hair on a car that's online from the photographs. But I have bought, I think, every tool that I can find for removing dog hair. And as she says, some do work better than others. Tape is not. It's fair, and again, some of these just seem to work their way into the fiber of the carpet, and that is really. Now, we have electric drills with brushes on them.
Other thing I was going to say.
Yeah,
those tend to work moderately well. Again, depending on the hair and how embedded it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I will actually say this. And this is the time of year. It's spring. It's spring cleaning time, right?
Right.
This is when you want to maybe clean your car, occasionally.
Yeah.
But especially at the end of winter, what you should be doing is if you or you have a lot of passengers in your car, you want to remove your floor mats and look along the edges for salt buildup. Because that is a lot easier to deal with when it's in its infancy.
Yeah.
There have been cars we've gotten in that have had like an inch of salt buildup, and that is, it really sucks to try to get that out.
Yeah.
But if it's fairly new, you get a drill brush and, you know, you hit it with the drill brush, and you can do it one of two ways. You can do it dry, but then you're going to be making a lot of gross salt dust that you probably don't want to be breathing that much of.
Yeah.
You can wet it as well. The car I was shampooing yesterday had a little bit of salt buildup. I sprayed it with some water, and then I hit it with Simple Green, which is our preferred all-purpose cleaner. If I'm not using disinfectant wipes, I'm using Simple Green. Sprayed it with Simple Green, hit it with the drill brush, hit it with the extractor, and you can't tell that there was salt there. So that's the sort of thing you want to do before it becomes an inch deep of salt buildup that is going to be a nightmare to get out. You can sort of chisel at it when there's that much, but
yeah,
it's not fun.
So I just got a message. Does Maria do detailing on the side away from the business?
I have not. So I'm going to throw myself under the bus. This is a little bit, the cobbler's children don't have any shoes. So I got a new car in big quotes last January. I have not thoroughly cleaned that car yet.
I hadn't noticed.
I got it in January, right? And it was cold. Remember January 2025, it was cold. And then all last year, the majority of my free time was taken up with a project that we're not going to discuss. And so I really only just started having quote-unquote free time again recently. And I need to clean it. One of these days I'm going to like stay after, or maybe come in on a weekend and clean it, because it needs to be vacuumed. But I do try to wipe it down like occasionally if I'm waiting somewhere. But
your car's not that dirty. It's cluttered.
It's dusty, and there's a lot of gravel and pine needles tracked into it.
Okay. Well, that's no dog hair.
And there's a lot of reusable bags. No dog hair. I did find a golf ball when we were changing out the 12-volt. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I actually wonder if there's more underneath the back.
That's something we find a lot is golf tees and golf balls. For those of you golfers out there, you should check your car before you trade it in just to see how many golf tees. I mean, there was one I remember. We just packed with golf stuff. And before I forget, because we're going to run out of time pretty quick here, there was an ad during the last break about the auction over at Central Maine Auto Auction, which has started at 9 o'clock. And I was going to have it up on the computer here so I could watch it, but that's probably a good thing I'm not, because I do have a radio show to do. But you can watch and bid online. You can register online. You don't have to go to Herman today and see what's going on. It helps to be there and there's so much stuff. It's going to be going for a while.
Yeah.
Maria.
All day, I think, probably.
Maria was getting a kick out of it. She would I would get out of the car and walk, and she'd follow me because I have to get up close and inspect whatever it was.
Oh.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here in a couple minutes. What else? I'm just looking over my notes.
Well, we should talk. We did put out another RAV4 hybrid this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll do Pete's job a little bit. It's a 2016, right?
Yeah.
I think it's got one. It has a number of miles on it that I don't remember right now. But it's on our website, which is Prius.store.
It's like 146
It's got all the particulars. It needed nothing. It's a one owner. It's really nice. So
yeah,
you should go see Pete. He's at work today. He's doing something. Yes, I don't know why.
Yeah, we should look and see what he's up to. But Pete gallantly offered to have Maria come on this week, and I think he did that just so you would miss him. I'm not sure how that's working out, but we do miss him and appreciate everything he does as well. I had a discussion with your mother this morning about installing. She was complaining about the dust around the old windows in the living room that I haven't replaced. There's four of them. And I said, well, if we moved everything to the other side of the room, I could do those windows. And that ain't happening. I can't replace those windows until everything is out of that room. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's how that works.
Yeah, God knows when that's going to be.
Everything's got to be sequestered before you can make that mess. Yeah. And
God only knows when that's going to happen. That'll be a while. Oh, man. Let's see. I didn't get a chance to play this, so I'm going to play it for you right now. With the Flintstones. Sting learning the singing the Flintstone song.
Yes.
You know, there's certain people lament social media and stuff on the internet, but when you can pull up Sting singing the Flintstone theme song, you know, it's a wonderful world. What can I tell you?
What a world! Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, so, the technological breakthroughs.
I know. It's absolutely amazing. But we're out of time, Maria. You made it go right. Fast. Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time and listening and calling in.
Yeah.
And I will see you next week. We got we got another car to clean, I think.
Well, I have a couple.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. Stay warm. See you later.
Yeah, take care.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. Everybody out there, have a great week.
And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T-Rubble's more or less be you're the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine.